right, here we go. It's another edition of the Four Verticals Podcast. Episode 15 is underway. I'm your host, Harrison Graham. Crazy to think about it. It's already November. We started this thing back in July. I was getting you ready for the season, and now it's time for the November to remember as we play out the last month leading you in to the college football playoff. 15 episodes in as we continue to keep this thing rolling. Thanks to everybody who's been listening throughout the season. We're going to keep bringing it every week from here on out until we have a national champion. So let's not waste any time and get right into it. We'll finish the podcast out like we always do. We'll pick our games against the spread week 11. I can't get above 500. It's really painful. I'm 45-45 on the season against the spread, which is pretty good when you're betting against the line, but 5-5 again last week. I'm trying to get above that 500 mark. We'll give it a crack again this week at the end of the podcast, so stay tuned for that. Here in a minute, I want to talk about the college football playoff. More teams eliminated last weekend. 9 teams in my eyes are currently alive with a possible 10th team floating in there. I'll tell you who that is in just a second. Also, it's time for Texas to put up or to shut up. And that's where I want to start this week because I try to keep it Big 12 centric as much as I can before I expand out to all of college football because I love it nationwide. But I am a Big 12 guy first, so I try to find Big 12 topics I like to get into first. And I want to do Texas this week because 2 weeks ago, heading into Stillwater, the Texas Longhorns were the number 6 team in the nation. They had won 6 games in a row. Texas Nation was as loud as it's been in the last decade. And they laid an egg for a quarter and a half in Stillwater and ultimately lost that game. And they come back home this week and they lose a tough 1-point game to West Virginia. And there has been sideshows along the way. We saw what happened at the end of the game against Oklahoma State where Brecken Hager, when Taylor Cornelius is taking a knee, tries to bull rush the protector guy. I mean, what is that crap about? And then Tom Herman's, you know, running onto the field, trying to figure out what's going on, and that's a bad look. Well, then this past week, Herman had some interesting remarks as well. He's questioning a rule saying that Will Greer was taunting before he scored the go-ahead 2-point conversion to beat Texas. I mean, what is that? That is crap. That is such a bad look for Tom Herman. Hey, put your head down and go to work. This can still be a good season for Texas. That's the thing. I think people got ahead of themselves when they got to 6-1 and were marching into the top 5. Like, this team has been mediocre for a long time. Like, they're not going to come in here and win 11, 12 games this year. They can still win 9 or 10, and that would be a great step. But they got to get started this week. They're 6-3 now. They go to Lubbock. They play at Texas Tech. I doubt Alan Bowman, Tech's quarterback, is going to be available. He was released today from the hospital after having another partially collapsed lung situation. Suffered against their loss to Oklahoma on Saturday, which, by the way, I think Texas Tech beats Oklahoma this past Saturday if Bowman doesn't go down. He was playing out of his mind. Tech was rolling offensively. Jet Duffy comes in as just not nearly the passing quarterback that Bowman is, and he still gets that game to 51-46. I think Bowman would have found a way to win that game, but unfortunately he was unable to play in the second half. I doubt he's going to be available on Saturday, so expect Jet Duffy to play. So this is an opportunity for Texas to go get a quality win on the road. Get to 7-3, put the past 2 weeks behind you, and then you let it rip against Iowa State at home and then at Kansas the last 2 weeks for a chance to get to 9-3. But these next 2 weeks are critical. Because if Texas isn't careful, this thing could go to 7-5. You lose in Lubbock, all of a sudden, then you've got a red-hot Iowa State team coming in who will likely have won its 5th straight game as they host Baylor on Saturday. They're in the top 25. That's not going to be easy in Austin, especially if they've lost 3 games in a row. You've got to play well and win in Lubbock on Saturday. This is critical juncture right now for Texas and Tom Herman because of all of the progress they've made. Sam Ellinger evolving, the way they're moving the ball offensively. They've taken a little bit of a step back here defensively. I think playing Jet Duffy will give you an opportunity to play better on Saturday. Got to get the mojo back going. I don't want the storylines coming out of these games being about Tom Herman running his mouth or one of his players doing something stupid. Put your head down, play some ball, and go win on Saturday. That's what I want to see from the Texas Longhorns from here on out on the rest of the season. This is not a lost season. If you're upset because Texas isn't going to play for a national championship, yeah, they're not a championship caliber team right now. They're still in the mix in the Big 12. If they went out and get a little bit of help, they can still play in Arlington in a month. Take this thing one game at a time, go win in Lubbock. That needs to be the immediate focus for the Texas Longhorns right now. So that's my rant on Texas. That's my Big 12 rant of the week. Get back to basics. Get back to winning football. Make the plays in critical juncture, and you should take care of Texas Tech on Saturday night to get to 7-3. Now, the second edition of the college football playoff rankings came out last night, that being Tuesday night, of course. I've got issues. I think the top six is fine, and you know, at the end of the day, you can say, well, that's really all that matters because those are the teams competing for the four. Well, that's somewhat true, but it's not completely true because when you project ahead, you wonder how this is going to look. So this is how it lays out in the top 10. Alabama, number one, obviously. They just rolled LSU. They proved their worth. They're the best team in the country, no doubt about it. Clemson, number two, just dropped 76 on Louisville. They're playing really well. The schedule's soft, but they're undefeated and they're clobbering people. No problems there. 9-0 Notre Dame at number three. Solid win against Northwestern. Got no problem there. Number four, Michigan at 8-1. I personally think they're playing better than Notre Dame right now, but they lost to Notre Dame head-to-head. So logically, you can't have them ahead of Notre Dame, who not only beat them, but is also undefeated. So I'm good with those top four. Georgia 5, Oklahoma 6, both at 8-1. I'm fine with that. I think they're on the outside looking in right now. Here's where the problem comes in for me. LSU at number 7 at 7-2. Look, I've been preaching LSU all year. I think they have played better than they probably are. I think they've overachieved. But let's not give them credit for getting drilled 29-0 at home against Alabama. Just because they held them to under 30, that's not some huge accomplishment the way they played on Saturday. They never came close to scoring. And this is against an Alabama team that, while of course they're still really good and talented defensively, they're an offensive team this year. For the first time in the Nick Saban era, they're better offensively than they are defensively, and LSU barely got the ball past midfield. Let's not give them credit now that they're 7-2 and they sort of played with Alabama for a half. No. You got Washington State, who's at number 8, at 8-1. They've got one less loss. They got another quality win against Cal on Saturday. West Virginia is number 9 at 7-1, coming off an impressive win in Austin against a good Texas team. I mean, are you kidding me? They go on the road and win in Austin. They've got one less loss than LSU. And they're sitting behind LSU. And of course, you can say, you know, if you project ahead, if West Virginia wins out, takes care of business, beats OU probably twice, wins the Big 12, then, you know, that'll work itself out. They'll jump LSU. Okay, I get all that. That's fine. But just because LSU has a couple of nice wins on their resume, let's not keep them at number 7 right now, coming off a 30-point loss to Alabama when they have two losses. They play at Arkansas versus Rice and at A&M the rest of the season. If you want to drop them after winning out, that's fine. But to me, that's stupid. Have them at like number 10, number 11 right now. If they win out, they can get up to number 6 or number 7. They should not be in the playoff mix with two losses. Because they're not going to win the SEC. A two-loss non-conference champion in a four-team playoff system should not have a prayer of making it. And yet, the committee is, I think what they're giving LSU fans false hope at putting them at number 7. Because if a one-loss Washington State Pac-12 champion should be ahead of LSU with two losses. You can say the schedule, you can say this and that. If you win your conference with one less loss, you should be ahead of a team. That's why they should be ahead of them now. Why is LSU at number 7? It makes no sense to me. Why? In West Virginia, they were 13th last week, which was already way too low. And yeah, you can say they jumped up four spots. Well, yeah, Kentucky lost, and Ohio State barely survived against Nebraska, so they stayed at number 10. But that's really it. That's the only, and Florida lost. So that's how they jump up. They weren't even credited for beating Texas. They just moved up because teams ahead of them lost. They just beat a top 20 team on the road. That should be rewarded. They're number 9, and they're probably thinking, God, we need a ton of help to get to the college football playoff. They might beat Oklahoma twice, win the Big 12 at 11 or 12-1, and not make the playoff. And I'm fine with that if certain things happen. Like if Notre Dame wins out and Michigan wins out and Alabama wins out and Clemson wins out, that's going to be your four, and that's how it should be. Because a one-loss Big Ten Michigan champion should get the nod. Because the schedule will have been tougher, and their one loss will be a 7-point loss in week one to unbeaten Notre Dame. They should get in over a Big 12 champion. No doubt about it. But if Ohio State, the way they're struggling right now, if they somehow rally to win out, I guarantee you the committee is going to jump them over a one-loss West Virginia Big 12 champion, maybe even a one-loss Oklahoma Big 12 champion. It just bothers me, man, that they do these things. And I get it, man. UCF isn't very good this year. And when I say they're not very good, they're not as good as they were last year. And I'm not saying they should have an argument for the playoff. The schedule's not there. The way they're winning isn't there. They're not playing good defense. I get all that. They're not as good as they were last year. Just watch them play. They're not. They're not as crisp offensively, and the defense isn't good at all. But number 12, I mean, they're 8-0. They've won like 20 games in a row. They're behind two-loss Kentucky. I mean, think about that. Kentucky's a great story. Mark Stoops is doing a hell of a job. He should be able to coach there as long as he wants. Kentucky's a basketball school. The fact that they're in the mix of winning 10 games is unbelievable. But let's not put them at number 11 just because they're in the SEC. They didn't belong on the field with Georgia on Saturday. That was obvious. Yet they only dropped two spots. I mean, I know Georgia's good, but they got run at home. West Virginia's only two spots ahead of them. UCF's behind them. Florida gets drilled by Missouri, loses their second straight. They've got three losses. They're number 15 in the country. That's a joke. That is a joke. What have they done that is more impressive than what Texas has done? Same record. Texas is number 19. They've lost their three games. Well, let's see. A total of 1-6. They've lost three games by 9 points total. They're not getting drilled. Yeah, the Maryland loss in week one's bad, but it was still a 5-point loss, and that was 2 months ago. They lose by 1 point at home to West Virginia, who's a legit top 10 team, and they lose by 3 points in Stillwater in a night game. Big 12 game on the road. That can happen. Kentucky gets run at home. Florida gets run at home by Missouri, who hadn't won an SEC game this year. And they're number 15. Mississippi State is number 16. Did you watch them play LSU a few weeks ago? They couldn't move the ball. Nick Fitzgerald was 4 of 16. They're about to get killed by Alabama. The SEC is probably the best conference this year, but it's not by some huge gap. Alabama, don't get looped into this thing because Alabama's in the SEC. Alabama's on its own level. That's not an SEC thing. That is an Alabama thing. Georgia's very good. LSU is pretty good. You know, Kentucky and Florida, they're pretty solid teams. Mississippi State, they can be good at times. A&M has shown some things. But Mississippi State, Auburn, A&M, what's the difference between those teams and, like, Iowa State? I know Iowa State's in at 22. They've won four games in a row with Brock Purdy at quarterback, and they've been impressive doing it. They drilled West Virginia, who's good. You watch. They will compete from here on out, and they will challenge for the Big 12. I'm just telling you right now. They play good defense. They have a good quarterback. They have one of the best running backs in the country in David Montgomery. Hakeem Butler is one of the best receivers in the country. Iowa State can play. I just don't get it. The SEC, the love for the SEC is just, and they conveniently, to help LSU, to justify putting LSU at number 7, they sneak Auburn back into the polls at number 24. Auburn's not good at all. I mean, I say not good at all. They're above average, okay? They got drilled at Mississippi State by 2 touchdowns, who's pretty, you know, decent team, nothing special. They lost to Tennessee at home. And they should have lost on Saturday against a pretty good but not great A&M team. They got run for 3.5 quarters and scored 2 touchdowns in the last 5 minutes. And they're you put them in the polls at 24? I mean, I just – and I get it. You know, I tried doing my own top 25. You get past 17, 18, 19, it's pretty tough. Like, it's so top-heavy this year, even more than normal. But let's not do things – to justify other things. The committee's been doing that for too long. They put Fresno State in the top 25 a few years ago to help Alabama because Alabama played them in the non-conference. You know how stupid that is? That is unreal. That is such a joke. They take Oklahoma out of the top 25 to hurt Baylor and TCU the first year of the playoff. It's just a joke, and I just don't get it, and I don't know why there's not more outcry. And I know there's some, and you know, certain people think that it's justified, and you can say, oh, it doesn't matter, Bama's gonna win it all anyway. That's beyond the point. Yeah, maybe Bama's gonna run everybody this year, and maybe it won't matter this year, but it should matter. It should matter. It just frustrates me how they continue to do this and they get away with it. And it's just the way it is, man. I think they're just going to have to expand the playoff to 8, and they have to make the criteria clearer. And they have to make the criteria even for everyone. I know Bama's the best team this year and they're dominant and they pass all the eye tests and all that. And I get all that. And that's why I can't argue it because they're that good. But you look at the schedule, it's not great. It's not great. Clemson, same deal. I mean, they're killing people right now, and those are my top two teams as well, but their schedule sucks. It does. It's not good. Their best win is a game they should have lost to Syracuse, and they've put Syracuse up at number 13 to help justify that. And Syracuse, kind of like Kentucky, great story. Dino Babers doing a hell of a job. He's going to be up for better jobs after this year. Eric Dungy, their quarterback, he's a nice player. That's not the 13th best team in the country. I just make the criteria clearer, go to 8 teams. If a G5 team goes undefeated, they get one of the spots. I'm not crazy about giving all the Power 5 conferences automatic bids if they win their conference, but if that makes it clearer, do it. Then there's no griping at the end. You got your 5 Power 5, you got your 1 Group of 5, you got 2 wild cards. So this year, you'd probably have Alabama, and then either Georgia or LSU. That would be one of the wild cards out of the SEC. So that's 2 teams. You have, let's say, Oklahoma wins the Big 12. There's a 3rd team. Michigan wins the Big 10. That's a 4th team. Notre Dame could be the 2nd wild card if they go undefeated, or even with 1 loss. You got Pac-12. Let's say Washington State wins the Pac-12. That's the 6th team. Then you got Clemson in the ACC. And who am I forgetting? Oklahoma in the Big 12. We'll say they run the table. So there you go. You got your 8 teams right there. Yeah, I mean, you could say, okay, well, why does a 2nd SEC team get a nod over, you know, like a 2nd Big 10 team? Why does Ohio State? Well, SEC's better than the Big 10 this year. Sorry. I mean, if you're the 9th or 10th or 11th team complaining about not getting in, that's on you. At that point, you're talking about 2-3 lost teams. But in this system, there's legitimate gripe, and it's bias, and it's unequal. It's an unequal playing field. By the way, the SEC has to start playing 9 conference games. You're going to see in a couple weeks, the week before rivalry week, Alabama's going to play. Let's see who it is. It's usually like the Citadel or Southeast Louisiana or whoever you want to mention. Yeah, it's a Citadel. They play Mississippi State this week and then the Citadel before Auburn. That's stupid. They shouldn't get away with that. Guess who, for example, Guess who Washington State is going to be playing the week that Alabama plays the Citadel? So Alabama's going to play the Citadel next week. Washington State plays Arizona. Arizona's won two games in a row. Conference game late in the year. They want nothing more than to ruin Washington State's playoff chances. That's going to be a legitimate tough game. Alabama gets to play the Citadel before they play their rival in Auburn, which, by the way, the Citadel, that'll be their fourth non-conference game. It's not equal. Make it equal. Clear up the criteria. Make everyone play on the same playing field. There's not a huge gap between the SEC and the rest of the Power 5 leagues anymore. You can't lean on, oh, well, they get the extra easy game in non-conference because of the brutal SEC schedule. No! It's top-heavy, just like most of the leagues are. I would argue the middle of some of these other leagues are tougher. The middle of the Big Ten's good. Middle of the Big 12's pretty good. Make it an equal playing field. That's all I'm asking. It's the Four Verticals Podcast, episode 15. I'm your host, Harrison Graham. Those are some of my thoughts on the playoff and their rankings and how much of a sham I think it is. Feel free to get at me on Twitter, at Harrison1033. I love talking shop, love talking college football, sports, all of it. Just reach me at Twitter, at Harrison1033. Coming up next, we wrap things up like we always do. It's our picks against the spread, week 11. Can I get above 500 for the first time this season? We do that next here on the Four Verticals Podcast. Putting a wrap on this week's edition of the Four Verticals Podcast, I'm your host, Harrison Graham. Got to make our weekly picks, week 11 picks against the spread. I don't know what it is, but I cannot get above the 500 mark. 5-5 again last week, 45-45 on the season, picking games against the spread. 500 is pretty good against the spread, but I want to be better. I want to get above 500. We're going to give it our best shot again this week. Got five games in the Big 12. Five more games nationally. We'll start in the Big 12, start in Morgantown, West Virginia, where the ninth-ranked West Virginia Mountaineers host the TCU Horned Frogs. West Virginia with that big one-point win in Austin, 42-41. TCU with an ugly one-point win in Fort Worth over Kansas State, 14-13, courtesy of a missed extra point by the Kansas State Wildcats. I like what West Virginia is doing right now. Ever since their loss to Iowa State, they've taken care of business. 58-14 home win over Baylor. That big win in Austin to take control of the Big 12. Will Greer's playing at a high level, had another big game on Saturday. TCU has 20 players out for the season, according to Gary Patterson on his news conference on Tuesday. He's down seven safeties as well. They're having to patchwork this thing together. Still, somehow, TCU has managed to have the best passing defense in the Big 12. I think their defense will keep them in it for a while. But West Virginia, 11.5-point favorites at home, that still doesn't feel good enough, even with TCU playing good defense. I like the Mountaineers. I just don't know where the points are going to come from for TCU. They're not going to be able to score nearly enough. Give me West Virginia on Saturday. Also at 11 a.m., it's the battle in the Sunflower State, Kansas at Kansas State. Kansas made it official this week. David Beatty will not return next season. He is going to finish this season as the Jayhawks head coach. Looks like their primary target is Les Miles. Nothing official yet, but we will see what happens. Bill Snyder, his Kansas State Wildcats continue to struggle. Again, they had that one-point loss in Fort Worth. K-State getting 10.5. I'm going to go with the Jayhawks. I think K-State will find a way to win this game and get to 4-6 and keep their bowl games alive. I think David Beatty has a lot of respect in that Kansas locker room. They're going to play hard for him the rest of the way. Wouldn't shock me if they even pulled off the upset here. But I think Kansas State will find a way to win. 10.5 points feels a little high, though. Give me the Jayhawks to cover on Saturday morning. Oklahoma State at number 6, Oklahoma. It's Bedlam. 20-point favorites are the Oklahoma Sooners. 2:30 kick on ABC on Saturday afternoon. Man, I really like what this Oklahoma offense is doing with Kyler Murray and the way they're running the ball with Trey Sermon, Kennedy Brooks. We all know about Marquise Brown and CeeDee Lamb. But I just don't trust this defense. I can't pick them to beat anybody by 20 points. Oklahoma State is still good enough offensively, even with the inconsistencies of quarterback Taylor Cornelius. They're going to be able to run the ball with Justice Hill. Fully expect OU to win, and with them being at home, I certainly think they'll win. 20 points feels high, though. I think Oklahoma State keeps this thing interesting for a while. They will cover. OU ultimately wins and keeps their Big 12 and college football playoff hopes alive with winning Bedlam. Also in the Big 12, go to Ames, Iowa. Baylor at number 22, Iowa State. Matt Rule's doing a hell of a job. If you haven't paid attention, I know I haven't talked a ton about Baylor in the bottom half of the Big 12 this year. He's got these boys 5-4. They're going to have three cracks at bowl eligibility, and that would be a huge accomplishment. Iowa State, Matt Campbell, what can you say? They've won four games in a row since going to Brock Purdy at quarterback. They're 14.5-point favorites. I like what Baylor's done. I like what Iowa State is doing more. They've got more to play for. They still can play in the Big 12 title game, get into a New Year's Six Bowl. I think Iowa State plays well. They win. They cover that 14.5. Give me the Cyclones on Saturday and take care of business at home. Baylor will have two more cracks at bowl eligibility their final 2 weeks. Last game in the Big 12, it's a big one in Lubbock. I talked about it earlier. Texas, it's time to put up or shut up. They lost two straight. Tough ones in Stillwater and at home against West Virginia. Still 19th in the country in the playoff committee's eyes. Two-point favorites at Texas Tech. Both these teams need a win like their next breath of air. Unsure about the status of Tech quarterback Alan Bowman was released from the hospital earlier today. I would expect he is not going to play on Saturday. This is the second time he's had a partially collapsed lung. It's a shame because he's playing at a high level, and I think if he plays that entire game against OU on Saturday, they probably would have won. They only lost by 5 with Jet Duffy, and he continues to struggle to throw the ball with any consistency. I'm going to pick Texas here because I don't think Bowman's going to play. Texas is 2-point favorites. I think if Duffy plays, they should be able to handle Texas Tech. I just don't think they're going to be able to throw it with any consistency. I like the way Sam Ellinger and Lil Jordan Humphrey and Colin Johnson and that offense is playing. Trey Watson's running the ball better. Still got Keontae Ingram. That offensive line's been pretty solid. The Texas defense should play better if Duffy is the quarterback for Texas Tech. Give me Texas. I think they get back to their winning ways. They improved to 7-3 with a win in Lubbock. They'll cover the 2 points as well. Moving on to our games nationally, we got a good one in the Big Ten. Number 18, Michigan State, hosting number 10, Ohio State. Buckeyes, 3.5-point favorites on the road. Two somewhat mysterious teams at this point. Michigan State has, I would say, largely underachieved to a certain degree. Maybe not largely, but has not played super well. Brian Lewerke's been inconsistent this year. Buckeyes struggling defensively. Obviously, Nick Bosa leaving and being hurt has not helped. Their linebacker play has not been very good. They've been inconsistent running the ball on offense. Dwayne Haskins has been outstanding throwing the football for the Buckeyes. But outside of that, they've been very inconsistent and all over the place. Man, Sparty at home, 11 a.m. kick. It's going to be in the mid-low 30s. This feels like a Sparty type of game, doesn't it? But at the same time, do we think Ohio State is going to bow down and be out of the mix with a month left to go? Man, this is a tough one. Give me Michigan State in the upset. I'm going to do it. Give me the Spartans. I don't think this Ohio State team is great. They have not played their best football the last month. They got run by Purdue. They easily could have lost to Nebraska on Saturday. I don't trust that defense. I think Sparty plays pretty good defense. If they can score enough on offense and not turn the ball over, they're going to have a good chance to beat the Buckeyes. Give me Michigan State. I think they find a way, and Mark D'Antonio picks up a big win on Saturday, and all of a sudden the Ohio State-Michigan game has a lot less luster coming up in a couple of weeks. In the SEC, we've got an interesting one, or maybe not so much, as number 16 Mississippi State takes on top-ranked Alabama. Crimson Tide, 23.5-point favorites at home. Give me the Tide. I mean, are you kidding me? Mississippi State's just a worse LSU. They're a pretty good defensive team, but they're so limited on offense. Nick Fitzgerald, he can run some, but Alabama doesn't struggle stopping the run. He can't throw the ball with any consistently. Bama beat LSU 29-0. I would expect something similar, maybe 34-3, 38-6, something like that. Mississippi State doesn't have a prayer. Tua's playing at a high level. That defense is starting to play better after not being quite as good as they've been in the past. They're playing better as well. Nick Saban's group is the team to beat. They're going to run Mississippi State. Give me the Tide to cover that 23.5 and win on Saturday. Number 8, Washington State at Colorado. Battle of two pretty good quarterbacks in Gardner Minshew at Wazoo and Steven Montez at Colorado. Buffaloes got off to a 5-0 start but have lost four straight. They're desperate for a win, especially of this caliber. Washington State looking to keep its Pac-12 title hopes intact and the possibility of going to the college football playoff alive. Give me Gardner Minshew and Wazoo. They're 6-point favorites. I think they cover. Get this thing done on the road at Colorado. I think they win on Saturday. Mike Leach's crew keeps things rolling and quietly keeps themselves in the mix when it comes to the college football playoff. One more matchup in the SEC. We got number 24 Auburn at number 5 Georgia. Auburn conveniently back in the polls after barely beating Texas A&M in a game they were outclassed for 3.5 quarters. Georgia having a dominant win over Kentucky. They're 14-point favorites. Give me the Dogs in this one. I think they're starting to play better after that loss to LSU a few weeks back. Jake Fromm's figuring it out. Their defense is rounding into form. I like Georgia. They're setting up what could be an interesting SEC title game with Alabama. They take care of Auburn on Saturday. They cover the 14 points. Last game of the week, number 2 Clemson at number 17 Boston College. Again, number 17 Boston College. That's how thin outside the top 14 or 15 that we're really reaching here with this top 25 in the college football playoff committee. Clemson 20-point favorites on the road. They're going to cover that. They just dropped 76 points on Louisville. I mean, are you kidding me? Dabo Swinney's son is scoring a touchdown, and he's 5-foot-nothing and 112 pounds. Clemson's going to roll big time over Boston College. I think they're the biggest chance to beat Alabama at this point. They're starting to play better. They're playing on both sides of the ball. Give me Clemson big on Saturday. They get to 10-0 with a win over BC. They continue to roll. So those are my picks, my Week 11 picks on the season. Again, we went 5-5 last week. We're 45 up, 45 down on the season, right at 500. We want to get above it this week. Rapid fire picks. I've got West Virginia beating TCU and covering the 11.5. I got K-State winning, but Kansas covering as 10.5-point dogs. Oklahoma State covers the 20, but they lose to OU in Bedlam. Baylor, they lose to Iowa State. Iowa State covers the 14.5 as well. They win and cover. Texas, 2-point favorites at Texas Tech. They win and cover. Our national games, Ohio State, 3.5-point favorites at Michigan State. I'm going with the upset. Give me Sparty. Mississippi State, 23.5-point dogs at Alabama. Roll Tide. I think they win big. Washington State, they're six-point favorites at Colorado. They win and they cover. Georgia, 14-point favorites against Auburn. They win and they cover. I think they're rounding into form. And the number 2 Clemson Tigers, 20-point favorites at number 17 BC. They beat Boston College badly. They cover the 20 points there. So those are my Week 11 picks against the spread. Feel free to get at me on Twitter, at Harrison1033. Lots of things to discuss next week as it's another Elimination Saturday in college football. It's a November to remember. It all gets started this weekend in college football. That's going to wrap things up on this week's edition of the Four Verticals Podcast. Episode 15 is in the books. Always remember, you're going to see it a lot on Saturdays and on Sundays. If you're in doubt, ever in doubt, always go deep.